Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. We'll talk to you this morning about crossing over to places we've never been. And there's people that'll tell you they've been everywhere. They may have. But we've never been this far into 2022 yet. And so I'm still thinking in that vein that we sure need to be prepared for what's coming. And I don't know what's coming, but I know God does. And so we need Him. Here Israel would be crossing over Jordan River and into Canaan's land that they'd been promised. And so they needed God's help. So let's notice Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. By measure, do not come near it, that you may know the way that by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Verse 7, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.' So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua says, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan.'" Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. And I know, God, that your word is never old or outdone or worn out. Your word is present and perfect and applicable today. I pray that you'd touch our hearts today through this ministry of the word. Anoint your servant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Here we have God fulfilling his great promise to Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob that God would give them the land of Canaan as an inheritance. And so these were wicked people, Canaanites were, and God was going to use Israel to judge them. And they were to go and they were to destroy all their idols, and they were actually going to, even the people had come, judgment had come up on them, they would destroy the people. And you say, well, how could God do that? God can do that because God knew it was time for their judgment. There will be a come a time when God's had enough of it on this earth and he'll judge the world in a powerful way, as he did in Noah's day. But anyway, they were crossing over to a place they had never been. Israel had never been in Canaan's land. They knew nothing of the peoples or the behavior of the people there. They knew nothing of their values. Only they knew they were large people. There were giants in the land. And I'm not talking about just people who were overweight. There were people there that were several feet taller than they were, giants. There were races of these type of people. They were ungodly people. And so we know that God has brought judgment upon them. And they had well-fortified cities. They had powerful military power. But it was God's land that he had promised to Israel. And God was judging this land. He was using Israel to do it. And Israel had had some problems too. They had more than a few problems. They had many problems. They had just completed 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, because they didn't have the faith to go into Canaan's land at the time they were supposed to. And God let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years till all of that generation of unbelief died off. That's really what happened. Man, And so it was time for these people to go in and to pick up and to conquer the land. And somehow these people were not going to complain in unbelief. They were going to go across Jordan. They were going into the promised land that God had given them. So it was time to conquer, time to enter. But Canaan's land was a land of idolatry and pagan practices. And their idolatry, you say, well, I can't believe God would judge somebody that's bowing down to a block of wood. Well, let me tell you something. Those blocks of wood and of stone and man-made things had more to it than just bowing down to a stone or an image. Along with that worship of ungodly things went with it was temple prostitution, child sacrifice, and God hates the shedding of innocent blood, and all kinds of immoral and godless practices went with the religions there, and God did not want his people to be mixed up in that. God was judging those people after many warnings that there was time, and God would judge those cities and those peoples and those nations because of their terrible behavior in treating one another, as you see many people treating one another. That's unthinkable today that the people would treat each other like that. But today we're in a nation that has become pagan in many ways. We live in a land, our own country, filled with violence, rebellion against God's ordained authority. And let me tell you something. The authority of law enforcement is in the Bible. You read it, Romans 13. It's there. It's the will of God, and they are called ministers of God. Doesn't mean that all of them are saved, but it means that law enforcement is God's will and God's plan, lest the whole country go into chaos, as we've seen some cities go today. They're against the police. But theft and violence go unrestrained, seeming like in many parts of our world. And this may make us fearful or uncomfortable, wondering what in the world is going to happen when we've crossed over into a place, into a land today that maybe we've never been to, we've never seen in America like this. But I want to tell you something. This makes you fearful. It makes you apprehensive. But I can tell you something. God is greater. God is more powerful. And the God that's kept us to today will be here to keep us tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He doesn't need to change because he's always right. God is. Hallelujah. In our country, there's mixed belief systems, beliefs that are totally unbiblical, people so mixed up with natural identification of man and woman. And everything is challenged by an unbiblical society, a society today, our own society, that is basically biblically illiterate. Amen. They may be able to read and write, but they don't read God's word and obey it. And so many things happen. You know, this came up in Sunday school today, so I'll bring it up again in case you missed Sunday school. But it came up today, you know, how that people don't know the simple stories, kids today, that were taught in Sunday school, stories of David and Goliath and Jonah and the great fish and called a whale then. And so they don't know the basic stories of the Bible. And that's a sad thing because they should know. Amen. They used to teach it in school. Man, praise God. And so we live in that kind of country today. But my friend, if you're going to serve God, we've got to settle for the fact there's going to be opposition to the truth. There will be opposition. Truth is always opposed as long as the devil, the father of lies, is on the loose. One day he'll be shut up and in a bottomless pit, and they'll throw away the keys, and he'll be lost forever. I'm thinking, look forward to that day. But as long as the father of lies is in the world, there's going to be something to oppose truth, to oppose morality, to oppose anything glorifying God. And that's the kind of world that we live in. But God, like he was going to give Israel the authority to walk through this land of Canaan, he'll give us the authority to walk through this land until he comes again. So the people were ready to cross over. Amen. They would cross over Jordan into Canaan's land, and they would have to cross over to obey God. So they had to cross over in obedience. They knew this was the will of God. God promised, confirmed this promise many times, but they must obey God, and they must obey God's commandments that God gave Moses, 10 to be exact, and all the expansion of those that went with them. Amen. And so they would cross over, and God did not just want them to cross over and conquer these lands. He wanted them to live right and to be an example in front of the other peoples that there was one true God, and God had some rules that set out for us to go by. Amen. You say, well, I don't like rules. My friend, let me tell you something. God didn't have rules, this country would be total chaos. But this the fear, God-fearing people here, and God that still remains in this country is the reason it hadn't gone into complete chaos. And some people have, I know that. But I want to tell you something. We're on this path going to heaven. We're walking straight. We're walking upright with the Savior. We're going to conquer. We're going to be an overcomer. We're going to be victorious. If you keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ, keep following Him, you're not going to fail. Hallelujah. And so they had a condition for crossing over here, and that condition was, when God makes promises, He puts conditions with them. Amen. In verse 5 of our reading, Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And notice, after he said sanctify, then the Lord would do wonders among them. Amen. And so, the word sanctify means separation from evil and devotion to God. They had to be real, or they wouldn't conquer their enemies. God would not do wonders among them unless they sanctified themselves. And I've been around people that are more sanctified than sanctified. But sanctification means, you know, separation from evil. You don't hear much preached about separation, but it needs to be preached today. It's still the Bible. Praise God. You'll know it when I get on. And so we as a church must cross over into a new year in obedience to God. They had to cross over in obedience. If they didn't obey God, they could expect none of the blessings of God. But they would go off, they would cross over in obedience. Joshua would lead them, and I can tell you, Joshua was faithful to God, and they conquered every city they were supposed to under his rule. But yet they had to walk over in obedience. Joshua would hear from God, tell them what to do. They would believe what Joshua said because Joshua was in contact with God. And so the land they were entering surely was not sanctified. Evil thrived there. You know, Canaan's land wasn't just a place where there's a little evil here and there, a little lying here and there, a little foul language here and there, a little bit of adultery here and there. Canaan was overrun and completely consumed with evil. They were ready to be, they were needed to be judged by God, and God had called for judgment upon them. That's the kind of land they were entering. And Israel was called to be obedient to God's law. Obedient to God's law. And my friend, you and I, we're not called in this world to be different, but we're called to make a difference. Yes, we are different in the sense that we don't participate in the sinful activities of the world, but we're here to make a difference. Our light must shine for Christ. Praise the Lord. Every person that you don't like or don't like what they say or do, whether they're a politician or whatever, and I'm going to tell you something. Jesus died and shed his blood for that person. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's God's will for everyone to be saved. Not all will be, because not all will repent and come to God, but those who do will be saved. Praise the Lord. And so we're not called to be different, but to make a difference. And I believe that you can make a difference where you work and where we do business. Praise the Lord. Where we sell and buy and eat. Amen. All these things. But God's word tells us to be obedient to his word. And this requires us to reject the present world's sinful moral code. And most of America today has a moral code of a barnyard. That's pretty strong, but that's pretty true. It's forsaken the idea of marriage and faithfulness between one man and one woman in life. Amen. And so God requires us there to be some separation. And Israel was going to go into Canaan's land, but they were not to become like the Canaanites. They didn't go in there to inhabit some kind of lifestyle or try to turn over to some kind of Canaanite behavior. They did somewhat because God judged them for it, but yet that was never God's will. But for the church, I want to tell you, God has a plan for us too. Amen. Mark this down. You used to hear this scripture preached on continually if you grew up where I did and you didn't. But God requires us to be separate in the sense of sinful activity. And Paul makes it very clear to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Because you see, when a team of oxen are yoked together, if they're kind of the same size and the same weight, they can move things good together. But if they're not, then it's not very good for oxen. But we're not talking about oxen today. We're talking about you and I. And at least we're smart enough to know the difference. But anyway, we need to be yoked with God. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we walk with God down the straight and narrow, we're not shifting over from side to side. We're walking the straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. So we need to be yoked with God. But here it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has an unbeliever with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with the idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God said, 'I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people.'" That's what God wants for you and I. To be our God, and we to be the people of God. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." That's the condition. "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, I want to tell you something. There has been an attack on the father and the mother of the home and the family and marriage throughout our society. There's been an attack on that. But I'm going to tell you, friend, there's many people that can't help the condition that they're in. They can't help it because they didn't have a mother, father or mother that loved them or that taught them the right way, or they've had people who scattered and leave for no reason whatsoever, where the father and mother are no longer in the home. It's a one-parent home. I'm not cutting that down. I'm not running that down, because a lot of people can't help it, help the way they are or the way they're being brought up. But I want to tell you something. God says here, if we will separate ourselves from the sinful activity, He said He will be a father to us, and you shall be my sons, and you shall be my daughters. And you can't have a better father than God the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Born into God's kingdom, children of God by new birth. To be separate from the world doesn't mean you have to act weird. I grew up where some people thought that. They looked weird, they act weird, and they were weird. But you don't have to. It's not a matter of your hair, your dress, your talk, or behavior. Yes, godly living does affect that. You're not supposed to run around half naked. You know that. But you know, to be holy, your hair didn't look like that. Have to look like a bale of hay shot out of a cannon. Went to college with a girl like that. It's over. But to be separate means to not participate in sinful activity. That's what being separate means. It means to be a people who are in pursuit of the eternal instead of the temporary. Amen. And that's something we all battle with, because we want the best house and the best yard and the best car and the best. It's not wrong to have good things. It's wrong for them to have you. It's not wrong to be rich. It's wrong for riches to have you. Man. And I don't know how to speak from that, but anyway, I think most of you agree with me. Praise the Lord. But to be a people in pursuit of the eternal and not the temporary. Everything you have and if bought will wear out one day. Amen. Let me make it a little more personal. You and I will wear out eventually. Amen. I was in a house, it's been a long time ago, but I was in a house and where a man complained about his wife and the food that she was cooking, and she was a good cook. And she said something to him and he didn't hear, he couldn't hear nothing. And she said, old man, you can't see nothing, you can't hear nothing, and you don't know nothing either. I thought that was pretty strong. That did come out of this church. She's moved on now, thank God. So is he. Praise the Lord. But anyway, was I getting to something there? Yeah. But to seek the eternal instead of the temporary. Temporary things pass away, they wear out with time. But if you're a born-again Christian, if you're a child of God living for God today, the book of Colossians tells us something. It says, if you're then raised with Christ, that means raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, you were saved, you were born again of God's Spirit. Seek those things which are above. That doesn't mean we don't want to pay attention to things we make a living with. That doesn't mean you don't go to work or you stay home waiting for the rapture. No, it means that you do whatever you do for the glory of God. You do it, you give it your best, amen. Be the best employee you can be the best employee your employer has. But serve God and live for God, but don't you set your affection upon those things, amen. But set your affection on, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth, amen. Praise God. Thank God for things that we have. Thank God for things that we don't have and things that we could have. Amen. Thank God for the blessings He's given us here. But my friend, don't set your mind, your affection on things that will pass away, that will burn up with time and wear out with time. He says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It means you didn't die physically, but you died to the passions of the world, sinful things. When Christ, who is our life, appears, this is a scripture referring to the rapture of the church. When Christ, who's our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. That means when God, Christ, calls us up to meet Him in the air, we'll meet, we'll rise, be given a body that's made like in His glorious body, and suddenly we'll be with Him. Praise the Lord. Paul writes to the church in Corinth again. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. And so we should be concerned about our fellow man, our fellow worker that's not ready to meet God. It doesn't mean you can make them ready to meet God. It doesn't mean that you can't, that means you can't force people to love God, to serve God, to come to your church. Amen. But you can tell them about Jesus, you can live the gospel before them, that they know you're different. It doesn't mean you try to be different. It's just that you are if you're truly born again. You have an eternal pursuit that they don't have. Their pursuit is just what they can get in this life and how they can have a comfortable living and somehow retire somewhere and cross their legs and fish the rest of their days here. Nothing against fishing. But we're in pursuit of the eternal. Amen. My goodness, it's already 1 minute till 12. Amen. I'll tell you what King Henry told his seventh wife. He said, I won't keep you long. Already messed up, hadn't I? Okay. But they would have to cross over not only in obedience, but they would have to cross over in faith. Sanctify yourself, for the Lord, will do wonders among you. They had seen God conquer some enemies even on the other side of Jordan before they crossed over. And there's one fellow in particular I want to bring out. They had seen God conquer a kingdom where Og, how would you like to be named Og? O-G. King of Bashan. He was one of the giants. He was big. He was a whopper before Burger King ever heard of it. He was of the remnant of the giants, the Bible says. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead, 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. He's a big guy. I mean, he could look down through a basketball goal. Okay? But there were races of these kind of people that were born. I don't know what happened to them. I think they were judged by God. Yes, that's what happened to them. But yet, they were people, nations of people like this, and that's who Israel had to conquer. God, how can we go in there and do this? There's one guy mentioned in the Bible, he had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. Man. And so, well, it's not my job to figure out how all that happened. I just know it's in the Bible, and if God said it, it was there. But I know there were giant peoples, And they had to conquer things that they could not conquer in themselves, but they had to cross over in faith. God, we got faith that you're bigger than they are. You're stronger than they are. But God was stronger than their enemies, stronger than their fears, stronger than all natural weapons. God would have to supernaturally fight for them, and he did. Amen. And all the former battles should confirm their faith. Nothing was impossible with God. For 40 years they had seen miracles of God. For 40 years they had seen God provide manna every day from heaven. Amen. And quails flew in so they could have both meat and bread to eat. Amen. And you and I, church, we must press on in faith. Amen. God has led us this far. He will continue to lead us. We can walk with him. We can trust him. He has your eternity in his hands. My friend, don't turn back for anything this world has to offer. Walk hand in hand with the King of glory, walking hand in hand with the bright and the morning star, with the fairest of 10,000, with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You won't lose. You're going to win. You're going to conquer. You're going to be an overcomer. Just cross over with God in charge. Amen. Praise the Lord. So set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to finish this later on tonight. I know you're loved to hear that. But this people would have to walk over in faith, not in doubt. They'd seen God do too many things in order to that they should doubt. God was stronger than all this. They would be an overcomer. They would be victorious. You'll be an overcomer. You'll be victorious if you walk with God. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we're supposed to do. And 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we got to be a people that walk into a new year with faith. I know it's done 1 month past. Amen. Only 11 months shopping time to Christmas. Anyway. And so God meant for us to be overcomers. It would be a crossing where God would lead. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of God. It would go over. And God told Israel, said, you stand back for a certain amount of certain pace, and you let my presence go before you. And that's how they conquered Canaan. The Ark of the Covenant went by, across the Jordan River. The Jordan River parted, amen, during flood season. And Israel walked by on dry ground, walked through on dry ground, just like they did across the Red Sea. Amen. And yet, God said, you let me go first. And that's the way we're supposed to do, you and I. Seek first the kingdom of God. If you'll put God in your first, you can face this new year. You can cross over into a new year, a new month, a new day, a new week. If God is in charge, amen. And God has sent the Holy Spirit to his church to lead us that we may trust in him, for he's holy. Amen. Jesus said, gives a great picture of the Trinity here in John 14:16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father. You have Jesus the Father. And he shall send you another comforter, that's the third, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Praise God. We need God, the Holy Spirit, in us. How does that happen? You surrender to God, you're birthed, you're born again of God's Spirit, and God indwells you, you're birthed, you're born again of the Spirit. Then there's a baptism in the Spirit where God overflows inside of you. Amen. It's not that you get more of the Holy Spirit, it's just that he gets more of you. Praise God. And so how we need his help. We need God's help. He's noted he's in the New King James here. He's called the helper. Other versions, he's called the counselor. Other versions, he's called the comforter. God is all of that. God cannot be described completely in human words, but he is a helper. And he is here to help us resist sin. He's here to help us to resist evil teaching, and there's plenty of it out there. He's here to help us resist evil teachings in our children. Amen. Don't be afraid to go to a meeting of a high school or junior high. Amen. They're wanting to teach sex education to kindergartners. Amen. Don't be afraid to speak up and say, I'm not going to let my child learn that kind of junk. Okay, it's junk if it's not biblical. It is good if it's biblical. But not at and you're still a child. Okay, so we need to stand against evil, and the help of the Holy Spirit will help us resist sin. He will help us resist evil teaching to our children, to us. And the Holy Spirit will help you resist evil in the voting booth. And resist evil in our education system. God, help us to stand and to make a difference. Amen. We're not saved just to come together and eat, even though I like it. We're saved to make a difference in society. Amen. We can do that. Praise the Lord.